Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and Sean Patrick Murtagh is back. Hi.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good. We talked to you late last year when you were promoting your first album, The Mario 101. Congratulations again on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I know that over the holidays, you were performing in various places. You were performing in San Francisco, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I did my annual, this was the 10th year, was my Christmas or holiday concert at Martuni's, my holiday test drive series. And so it was nice and fun, and it was really good, especially, you know, coming back. You know, it's been a slow recovery from everything that has happened. And to have sold out shows again, it just felt like, we made it.
You're back.
Yeah. And then in the middle of that, I got a message from the Green Room asking me to come back and do an encore of my album release concert. So it was, I came back in the new year and did that and reminded people that, yes, I still have an album out and it's still pretty new, not even 1 year old. And it was nice because, you know, when I did it back in November, that was like apparently a big night for the cabaret community. And I had a very, very healthy audience in November. But it was nice for everyone that wasn't able to make it to have this second chance that I honestly didn't plan. I'm the first person to make fun of the cabaret world for our unscripted, unplanned encores that are scripted and planned within an inch of their life. But this encore concert really was, that they reached out to me. The first Marios that I did way, way back pre-pandemic, my debut in New York, those encores were because I booked them. This encore was because they booked me. So I was like, oh, wow, it's nice to have it be a real encore.
Right, exactly. It's nice to be wanted and say, come back, please come back. Well, I asked you to come back because I gave you the fun, rather difficult task of putting together your 12 favorite show tunes. And you did, and you have some upcoming dates we want to kind of throw out there. We'll remind people at the end of the show, but you're going to be performing in Provincetown on June 9th. And then on June 23rd, you've got a concert at the Laurie Beachman Theater in New York, which we can talk about in a little bit more detail. We'll take a little break about halfway through and you can chat about those two different events. But you took a kind of unusual approach to putting together your 12 favorites because you sort of linked it to one of your shows, right?
Yeah. So when you had asked me to start thinking about my top 12, as a raging homosexual trying to narrow down all of the Broadway canon into 12 songs, my anxiety was just like, I mean, at its peak, I was like, oh my God. But what about this? And, you know, I have to put in something for this person and something for that person. I'm not even going to name people because I don't want to even, you know, make a diva who doesn't know who I am even feel left out if I just don't mention them, you know? And so it was like, well, it has to be these 12. And I was like, oh, but you know, then there's this one and there's so many, you know, there's so many years and so many beautiful decades and wonderful, Broadway show tunes. Right. And it's like, I mean, I will tell you, if it was not this theme that I'm doing right now, Wheels of a Dream would be on it.
Well, as I tell people all the time, I'm like, when you put together your 12 favorites, it's really a snapshot of that moment in time with your 12 favorites, because people who are musical theater fans don't have a definitive list of just 12. So it's sort of like, what are you feeling at that moment when you're doing the list? What's on your mind? What have you been listening to lately? And that's oftentimes how the 12 get put together. And if you ask the person the next week, it could be a totally different 12. It's just the 12 at that moment.
Exactly. And so putting it in like a theme, because, you know, if I were to do like a workout playlist, I'd be like, if you're going to lift, Masquerade is one of the best songs. Like those key changes, it's always like, it's really good for that explosive power for a workout. So there's like, you know, different playlists. And that's how I talk myself off the ledge that I put myself on. and so I figured, no harm, no foul, if I just do the top 12, being from the show that I'm doing. So not the encore that will be completely unscripted and unplanned mm-hmm. when I do this show. And not the opening number, because the opening number, these ones are the real show, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, so it's my 12 Sondheim songs, Sondheim diva songs, I should say. And it is really, that is what my upcoming cabaret, my next cabaret show is about. It's another tribute, but it's whereas it's specifically Sondheim, it's even more specific about the Sondheim's divas, the Sondheim divas, mm-hmm. Being the characters mm-hmm. that he gave life to, and the actresses who brought them to life on stage. And also, which I think for me is equally as important for, you know, Sondheim's work, is it's not just the life his songs have in their shows. It's the lives, it's a life that his songs have in concerts and cabarets to these divas who take this song that they would never do on a Broadway stage, but mm-hmm. it's something that they feel that they have to share. Because what I really like about Sondheim, for me, I wouldn't call myself a Sondheim expert. Very similar to when, you know, ever I talk about Mario Lanza, I say, I am not the person to talk about their life. That is none of my business. And I'm mm-hmm. sure there are scholars who can do more. I'm talking about the impact it has on me. Sondheim, whether he's writing a woman, a man, an older person, a younger person, each character is the lead in their own story, in their own track. And in a way, these songs, everyone can relate to. It's almost like the every man or the every mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. And so these divas have really caught on to that and brought the songs that they weren't written necessarily for them, but they made their own.
Well, I'm going to let you take the lead. So where do you want to start?
I'm going to start. And this one, I said I don't want to offend any divas, but I'm just I do need to say that we're going to start with a song that Sondheim did the lyrics for mm-hmm. from Gypsy, Some People. And my absolute favorite rose is Tyne Daly. Mm-hmm. She, to me, so Ethel Merman is the iconic, the legendary, the right. Mama Rose. For me, Tyne Daly is the most authentic Mama Rose. When you, mm-hmm. the way she delivers each song, you hear a little bit of the desperation. You hear a little how tired this woman is. You really mm-hmm. get where this person is at. And Tyne Daly is my absolute favorite, hands down, Mama Rose. And that's why we're starting with Some People.
Anybody that stays home is dead. If I die, it won't be from sitting. It'll be from fighting to get up and get out. Some people can get a thrill from knitting sweaters and sitting still. That's okay for some people who don't know they're alive. Some people can thrive and bloom, living life in a living room. That's perfect for some people of 105. Yet all the places I gotta play, all the things that I gotta be. Yet come on, Papa, what do you say? Some people can be content playing bingo and paying rent. That's peachy for some people, for some humdrum people to be. Wonderful dream, Papa. All about June and the Orpheum Circuit. Give me a chance and I know I can work it. I had a dream, just as real as can be, Papa. There I was in Mr. Orpheum's office, and he was saying to me, Rose, get yourself myself some new orchestrations, new routines and red velvet curtains. Get a feathered hat for the baby, photographs in front of the theater. Get an agent, and in jig time you'll be being booked in the big time. Oh, what a dream, a wonderful dream, Papa. And all that I need is 88 bucks, Papa. That's what he said, Papa. Only 88 bucks.
You ain't getting 88 cents from me, Rose.
Then I'll get it someplace else. But I'll get it and get my kids out. Goodbye to blueberry pie. Good riddance to all the socials I had to go to, all the lodges I had to play, all the shriners I said hello to. Hey, LA, I'm coming your way. Some people sit on their butts. Got the dream, yeah, but not the guts. That's living for some people, for some humdrum people, I suppose. Well, they can stay and rot.
Well, we just heard Tyne Daly doing Some People from Gypsy. She's also one of my favorite Mama Roses. I saw her. I actually saw her in the show. And easily the best acted Rose I had seen.
Yeah.
Just because I think because at heart, Tyne is first and foremost an actress and not so much a singer. But it didn't matter because she was so committed to the role and so committed to the story that regardless of what you thought of her singing voice, which I think is perfectly fine. She bulldozed her way through the show but it never felt like you were watching a star turn where everybody was sort of like in the shadows behind her. She shared the stage very generously with the rest of her cast, and it was just an amazing experience. It was just a wonderful experience to watch her. So where are we going next?
Next we're going to another favorite of mine, and this is somebody who is having a really good time on Broadway right now.
Yeah, she sure is.
She really is. And that's Victoria Clark, who I was lucky enough when I first moved to New York, I ended up with her as a voice teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like singing on the street where you live in her living room next to a Tony. And I was just like, I need to record this mentally for the rest of my life. And I do. I see the Tony and I see her beautiful baby grand piano. But she really is so amazing at everything she does. She is... Mm-hmm. A phenomenal actress and a phenomenal singer with just such brilliance and in everything in her overtone and the way she marries her acting with her musicianship. And she actually did this role at Encores, she didn't come with it to Broadway, but she was in the LA company.
It was because I saw the Broadway production of this particular revival. This is the revival of Follies, by the way, that we're talking about.
Oh yes,
I saw both. I saw the New York production, and then I saw it when they brought virtually the entire cast except for Bernadette out to L.A. and Vicky Clark stepped in into the role of Sally. And I got to tell you, she was like the best Sally I've ever seen. She really was.
Yeah.
I mean, she was so. Again, she's one of those people, like we just talked about Tyne Daly, she's such an incredible actress that she fully immerses herself in whatever role she's playing. And, you know, and I know you and I have chatted offline about Kimberly Akimbo, which she's doing right now, and which I strongly suspect will bring her second Tony Award.
I am knocking on wood right now.
Because she is just so believable, no matter whether she's playing, you know, Sally Durant, or she's doing Light in the Piazza, or she's playing a 16-year-old girl in the body of a 60-plus-year-old woman. She is who she is. And so what version did you pick? Because this was an unusual version. Because I when I gave you the assignment, as I give everybody their assignment, I say, not only do you have the task of figuring out your show tunes you want, but you got to figure out which version you want, because you can pick any version you want.
Exactly. And not that I would ever watch anything on YouTube that might be questionable in its legality to share publicly.
You are such a liar, but that's okay.
I would never watch anything.
We have all watched those videos on YouTube.
So this version, which is completely above board.
Yes. This is a legit version.
This is a legit version, and it is a legit version in her singing. Was from, I think it was 2011, back when the Broadway Center, before the Museum of Broadway, there was like a visitor center.
Oh yeah, the Broadway Visitor Center, yeah.
Yeah, and Sirius XM was in that building, and they would do little summer concerts in this air-conditioned rotunda, and Vicky came down, and she sang Buddy's Eyes. And I think this was either right before she went, or it must have been right when she came back from LA doing it. And she sang this for a large audience of Adoring fans. And it is just, I mean, when you listen to it, just how brilliant it is and heartfelt. It's by far my favorite rendition of this song.
Yeah, so we're going to hear Victoria Clark doing Buddy's Eyes from Follies. And I think we've set it up so people will know. The sound quality is a little bit different. It's a live recording done in a rotunda, and you can kind of hear some things going on in the background and people talking and stuff, but you do still get an amazing performance of the song. So here she is right now.
Life is slow, but it seems exciting, 'cause Buddy's there. Gourmet cooking and letter writing, and knowing Buddy's there. Every morning, don't faint, I tend the flowers. Can you believe it? Every weekend, I paint for umpteen hours. And yes, I miss a lot living like a shot in. No, I haven't got cooks and cars and diamonds. Yes, my clothes are not Paris fashions, but in Buddy's eyes, I'm young, I'm beautiful. In Buddy's eyes, I don't get older. So life is ducky and time goes flying, and I'm so lucky I feel like crying. In Buddy's eyes, I'm young, I'm beautiful. In Buddy's eyes, I can't get older. I'm still the princess, still the prize. In Buddy's eyes, I'm young, I'm beautiful. In Buddy's arms, on Buddy's shoulder, I won't get older. Nothing dies, and all I ever dreamed I'd be, the best I ever thought of me, is every minute there to see.
So tell the listeners about your next selection.
My next selection, I feel like such a name dropper in this, but like in New York, you do meet people, right? Mm-hmm. This is another diva that I just, in my wildest dreams, you would not tell this young homosexual kid at UC Irvine who felt out of place in the theater department that he would meet all these amazing human beings. And this person is Sarah Rice. I'm just going to get to it as opposed to beat around the bush like I did with the first two. Sarah Rice, who was the original Joanna in Sweeney Todd. And one of my all times, I mean, I'm sure you and your listeners are very well aware that in the theater, it is a gay man's responsibility to learn every single ingenue song before they learn their own songs that they have to sing in the show they've been cast in. And this is whenever somebody sang this song in class at UC Irvine, it made me so happy. And there really is nothing like Sarah Rice singing Greenfinch and Linnet Bird, which is just a beautiful song. And I love it, whoever's singing it, really. It's just so perfectly written that I find enjoyment in whoever's singing it. But something about her, she really does have that quality, that lark. And though this isn't Sondheim's lyric, the sweet silver sound of a lark in her voice, the way she flutters those notes and just absolutely beautiful. And the longing in her voice as she sings to these caged birds about what it is to be free and how do you keep the music alive in your heart? How do you keep hope in your heart? So, you know, that's the metaphor here in Greenfinch and Linnet Bird.
So let's hear it right now. Here's Sarah Rice from Sweeney Todd.
Greenfinch and linnet bird, nightingale, blackbird, how is it you sing? How can you jubilate sitting in cages, never taking wing? Outside the sky waits beckoning, beckoning, just beyond the
We're now moving on to probably what I think over the years has now become Stephen Sondheim's most successful musical in terms of it's getting produced and how many times it's been produced since it originally opened on Broadway. And that is Into the Woods, right?
Yeah. And that is actually the very first Sondheim show I saw. It was Into the Woods. It was at the Kodak Theater. I'm not sure if it's called the Kodak Theater, but it was the out of town tryout before they did the Broadway revival in 2001.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
That was
the one with Vanessa Williams, right?
Yeah, I love. Oh, and the Beyonce reveal. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We'll get to her later. It's just such a wonderful show. And the first time I saw it, I actually thought, like act one ended and the curtain came up and I was like, wow, that was great. A one act musical. Because it felt
a lot of people had that experience, obviously.
It felt so complete. And I think that's why I love it so much more, is because the first act is an entire show. It is fine and perfect as is. And then you come back and you're like, holy crap, this is even better than what I thought was good enough to begin with. And so I'm going to celebrate just someone who her voice is phenomenal. And I grew up with her. You know, she did a few TV shows back when I was growing up. And that's Joanna Gleason. And she was the original Baker's Wife. And as amazing as so many people are, I don't think anybody has got the heart and soul of the Baker's Wife like this woman carries inside of her. And everything she does with the phrasing of this song and the discovery within herself, it is just perfect. And so, yeah, it's Joanna Gleason, the Baker's Wife.
Right. And again, I'm going to show my age because I saw Joanna Gleason on Broadway do the show.
You've seen my entire life.
I've seen a lot of these. I never saw the original Sweeney Todd on Broadway. But I did see Joanna Gleason.
That's a good point.
And she was, you know, the fact that she won she won the Tony Award that year for Best Actress too for this role. And she is so she's so amazing on stage. There's just something so charismatic about Joanna Gleason. She no matter what she's doing, you can see how smart she is. You can see the humor in everything she does, and you can see the heart in everything she does. And and that's why she is like the ultimate Baker's Wife, because she totally embodied that role in terms of every aspect of that role. She got the comedy perfectly. She got the emotional depth of it perfectly. And she sings it wonderfully. So what song are we going to hear?
We're going to hear Moments in the Woods.
What was that? Was that me? Was that him? Did a prince really kiss me? And kiss me, and kiss me. And did I kiss him back? Was it wrong? Am I mad? Is that all? Does he miss me? Was he suddenly getting bored with me? Wake up, stop dreaming, stop prancing about the woods. It's not beseeming, what is it about the woods? Back to life, back to sense, back to child, back to husband, you can't live in the woods. There are vows, there are ties, there are needs, there are standards, there are shouldn'ts and shoulds. Why not both instead? There's the answer if you're clever. Have a child for warmth and a baker for bread and a prince. Or whatever, never, it's these woods. Face the facts, find the boy, join the group, stop the giant, just get out of these woods. Was that him? Yes, it was. Was that me? No, it wasn't just a trick of the woods. Just a moment, one peculiar passing moment. Must it all be either less or more, either plain or grand? Is it always or is it never? And that's what woods are for those moments in the woods. Oh, if life were made of moments, even now and then a bad one. But if life were only moments, then you'd never know you had one. First a witch, then a child, then a prince, then a moment. Who can live in the woods? And to get what you wish only just for a moment, these are dangerous woods. Let the moment go. Don't forget it for a moment, though. Just remembering you've had an and when you're back to or. Makes the or mean more than it did before. Now I understand, and it's time to leave the woods.
So we just heard from Joanna Gleason as the Baker's Wife in the original Broadway production of Into the Woods with Moments in the Woods. And you're now turning to one of Sondheim's earliest failures, but it's a show that it's not, it's a show that has people have tinkered with and tried to get it to work, but it certainly has one of his most interesting scores.
Exactly. And, you know, and half of the Great American Songbook is filled with songs from failed Broadway shows. So many songs that people couldn't even tell you. They know the song, but they couldn't tell you what show it originally was from, or that it was from a show to begin with. So this, you know, just with what you said, this show has so many great numbers in it. In fact, that I'm putting two songs in my show from this show. And this is the first one that we're listening to that is going to be along the theme, what I mentioned earlier about, this is not somebody who did this on stage. This is somebody who brought their voice, their talents, and their take on this song in a recording studio and in concerts and cabarets. And it is a beautiful song. I also love Out of Diva, maybe kind of a diva. I don't know. He fits. Mandy Patinkin is also another version of this that I love, because just the lilt in his voice is perfect for this. But I stuck with a theme, so we're going to stick with a theme. And Judy Collins, who I could just listen to her all day. She puts you at ease, and especially her treatment of the Sondheim songbook is absolutely phenomenal. And so her singing Anyone Can Whistle, it just warms your heart.
Anyone can whistle, that's what they say, easy. Anyone can whistle any old day, easy. It's all so simple, relax, let go, let fly. So someone tell me, why can't I can dance a tango, I can read easy. I can slay a dragon any old week, easy. What's hard is simple, what's natural comes hard. Maybe you could show me how to let go, lower my guard. Maybe if you whistle, whistle for me. Ooh. Ooh. What's hard is simple, what's natural comes hard. Maybe you could show me how to let go, lower my guard, learn to be free. Maybe if you whistle, whistle
. We just heard Judy Collins doing the title song from Anyone Can Whistle. And as most people may or may not remember, it depends on your age, you may remember that when Send in the Clowns, when Little Night Music was out, Send in the Clowns became a chart hit for Judy Collins. It was one of those really rare times in the 70s when a Broadway song or show tune actually made it into the top 40, and it was because of Judy Collins. And this version of Anyone Can Whistle is from one of her more recent albums, which is a Sondheim collection, which I am embarrassed to say, even though I knew the album was out there, I had never listened to it until you put the song on your list. So I sat down and listened to the entire Judy Collins. I think it's called, what is it called? A Letter to Sondheim or something like that.
Yes, yes.
It's something like that. But you can find it on all the streaming services. And it's wonderful. And she, you just forget that she's like the perfect, it's almost the perfect match of singer and songwriter with these two.
Yeah.
Because she's, Judy is known as being such a fantastic interpreter of songs. Over her very long career. I mean, I just saw her on the Grammy Awards, but she was like hosting a segment of the Grammy Awards, and she's still out there kicking. And I think she was even nominated this past year for one of her most recent album. But she's such a fantastic interpreter of songs, and Sondheim fits perfectly for her. Just does.
Yes, exactly. And really picking. So Sondheim is very specific in his writing. There's not a lot of wiggle room. How it's written is how it needs to be performed, except for the hand, mainly the diva songs, the small handful of songs like Anyone Can Whistle, like Not While I'm Around, where you really can, you can be a little more rubato, you can be more free with it and really play around with the rhythm and all of that. And she's the perfect person. Really for that. Beautiful, beautiful.
And speaking of incredible interpreters of song, our next woman is probably one of the all-time greats when it comes to being an interpreter of song, right?
Exactly. And the Mama Rose we never got, which I still wish we would have had that. But this is from Barbra Streisand, you know, Babs, the one and only. And I love this version that she sings of this song, because she really, I mean, nobody tells Barbara what to do. She wants to sing a song, she's going to sing it, and she's going to make it her own. She's going to put her own stamp on it. And what I like about how she sings Something's Coming is, you know, when you think of it in the context of West Side Story, and you think of Tony, who is this like bright-eyed, hopeful, eager, young kid who is just like, he's a bit impulsive, and you just know like how excited he is about all this. Like, you know, that kid's gonna get killed. You know, this is not gonna get happy. Like, he's just a little too impulsive for his own good. But Barbara singing this is just so cool. Something's coming, and she doesn't have to do anything but be ready to receive it. It's coming to her. She's not going to it. She's going to sit there. And the way she, just how cool she is with this is she's so cool in everything she does. And it really changes. It changed the way for me that I heard this song. And I hope now that I can kind of incorporate that you just sit and trust and know what you're doing is right and good things will come to you. And it just completely makes a song its own. It makes it her song. And yeah, I just love Barbra Streisand singing Something's Coming.
Could be, who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It may come cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block, on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, come unto me. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle, door will knock. Open the latch, something's coming. Don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch. Around the corner, a whistling down the river. Come on, deliver to me.
just by holding still, it'll be there. Come on, something, come on in. Don't be shy, need a guy, pull up a chair. Yeah, it's for me. And something great is coming.
So we just heard Barbara Streisand's Something's Coming from West Side Story. And who do we have next?
We have another wonderful Barbara and another interpreter and a Sondheim diva who came to be a Sondheim diva later in her life and in her career. And for me, it started a beautiful second act for her. And that is the Barbara Cook. She who made her big return to the New York stage and to Broadway with the concert version of Follies. And so many wonderful things came from that, which includes a long list of recording of Sondheim material. And this is one of my favorite of Barbara Cook's, and that is Everybody Says Don't. It's a wonderful song. I just like, you know, Barbara Cook is a soprano who is funny, who can act, who is witty, who is cool. You don't always get that. And I'm saying this as a tenor, who the same thing could be said for tenors. You don't always get that in these legit voices. Someone that knows how to have fun, someone that knows how to be cool. And whereas her ballads are just so lush and beautiful. Her singing Everybody Says Don't is just so fun. And really, you do hear it from this woman who has lived a life and is telling you it's too short. It's too short to be living by all these strict, rigid rules. Just do it. I say try, you know, all of that. It really, you do hear this sage wisdom in the way that she treats this song.
So let's hear Barbara Cook right now with another song from Anyone Can Whistle, Everybody Says Don't.
Everybody says don't, it isn't right. Don't, it isn't nice. Everybody says don't, everybody says don't. Everybody says don't walk on the grass. Don't disturb the peace. Don't skate on the ice. Well, I say do. I say walk on the grass, it was meant to feel. I say sail. Tilt at the windmill, and if you fail, you fail. Everybody says don't, everybody says don't. Everybody says don't get out of line. When they say that, then, lady, that's a sign. 9 times out of 10, lady, you are doing just fine. Make just a ripple. Come on, be brave. This time a ripple, next time a wave. Sometimes you have to start small, climbing the tiniest wall. Maybe you're going to fall, but it's better than not starting at all. Everybody says no, everybody. Everybody says stop. Everybody says mustn't rock the boat. Mustn't touch a thing. Everybody says don't. Everybody says wait. Everybody says can't fight City Hall. Can't upset the cart. Can't laugh at the kings. Well, I say try. I say laugh at the kings or they'll make you cry. Lose your poise. Fall if you have to, but lady, make a noise. Everybody says don't, everybody says can't, everybody says wait around for miracles. That's the way the world is made. I insist on miracles. If you do them, miracles, nothing to them. I say don't, don't.
You're listening to the Broadway Radio Show, and I have Sean Patrick Murtagh with me, and we are doing his 12 favorite show tunes. But before we continue, we have five more to go. But before we continue, let's chat real quick about your upcoming performances. You're going to be on June 9th, you're going to be in Provincetown. And what are you going to be doing there?
The Provincetown Cabaret Fest, which is in its 23rd season, I believe. And I'm really excited and honored to be able to go. I was supposed to go back in 2020. I was invited after I had my little small success with my cabaret debut in New York. And I was going to put together this show. The theme was the 70s. And then we all know what happened in 2020. And the festival did not happen. And it didn't happen the following year. It came back last year with a phenomenal theme that was right up my alley. Was Hooray for Hollywood. And I was in the middle of recording my Mario Lanza album. And, you know, Hooray for Hollywood, like I just sang, I did a year singing 100 Mario Lanza numbers. I could do anything up there. It was a perfect thing, but the timing wasn't right. So I wasn't able to go last year. So I'm glad that they were still interested in having me back. And so I'll be going this year, where the theme is Sondheim by the Sea. And that really is the driving force behind today's playlist, was this theme. And when Sondheim died, you know, it was obviously such a huge loss. And you saw this outpouring of love, all these beautiful tributes. And then, you know, as it happens in this world of social media, you see a little snark like, oh, great. How many Sondheim tributes are there going to be next year? How many da-da-da-da, another? And it's like, you know what? There should be as many Sondheim tributes as people want to do, because right. The man was a giant. So if we're going to do 25 Sondheim tributes in a week up in Provincetown, let's do it, because the man earned that praise. So, but with that comes the difficult task of, you know, much like I say, I made the joke a few months ago with Passover coming up, you know, and what makes this Sondheim tribute different than all the others? I had to really do that for myself and find a way to make this my own thing. And back in the middle of the pandemic, I had done a whole bunch of shows. Every 2 weeks, I was turning out a different cabaret, a different theme. And one of them, it was in the middle of Pride Month, I did a salute to divas. And it was open to all divas from opera, deep pop divas, and Broadway divas, a little bit of everything. And then later in that year, in 2020, I did a composer-lyricist show. And I did a show honoring Jerry Herman, Cole Porter, and of course, Stephen Sondheim. And I just, while I was trying to find what would be the best way and most authentic way for me to pay tribute to Sondheim in a way that makes it different and interesting, would be kind of take a little from this show, take the skeleton from the Diva show, and take the idea of celebrating Sondheim from the show I did with that, and put them together and really celebrate the characters, as I mentioned earlier, that he wrote, that he gave life to, and the phenomenal women who have stepped into those shoes and made them their own. A whole slew of phenomenal Broadway icons. And again, as we heard with, you know, some of the last few singers, and the one coming up next, people who didn't necessarily do this on a Broadway stage, but brought it to life either through recordings or concerts and cabarets, and really opened up that diva songbook to whatever they wanted to sing of Sondheim's. So I'm celebrating Sondheim through what he has done and created for these iconic divas. I will be in the pandemic. I was doing my shows without pants, and I also
right.
I'm bringing that back. So I will be in pumps, fishnets, and a nod to Elaine Stritch. I will be in an oversized button-up shirt, parading around Provincetown, which I just found out that Provincetown is not necessarily that warm in the first week of June. So I will be wearing a fur coat up until fake fur up until showtime. But I'm going to be doing that on June 9th at Crown and Anchor. And you can go to ProvincetownCabaretFest.com and check out the entire lineup for that. And then at the end of the month, when I come back from Provincetown, it's my last few weeks in New York City before I become a West Coaster again. I become an LA resident. And so I figured what better way to say goodbye than with this Divas tribute as my farewell New York. And it's also going to be on Pride weekend. It's going to be the Friday of Pride at the Laurie Beachman Theater at 7 o'clock. My music director is Tracy Stark, and my director is my friend Chris Giordano, who directed my first Mario show. So it's nice to be coming together with so many people I love and respect, and saying goodbye to New York in such a fun way.
Right. And for the listeners, he is not leaving the business.
No.
He's just changing where he's going to be living. So, and it, believe me, if a gig comes up in New York City, he'll be there.
I got miles. I can get there.
He's got miles. He can get on a plane just like anybody else.
But you know, if a CBS pilot or series comes up for me in LA, right, I'm happy to stay there too.
Of course.
I don't know why I keep, like, I see myself on CBS, so we'll talk. if you need to edit that out, that's fine.
No, that's okay. We got to put that out there. You got to put things out there to make them come true. So let's get back to your 12 favorite show tunes. Yeah. And next up is a singer who I love. And as you said, she's someone who is not necessarily a Broadway performer. She is a performer from the world of opera. And she is one of the very few opera singers who can switch gears and sing musical theater songs and not sound like an opera singer, if you catch my drift. Because there's a lot of opera singers who try it and they still sound like an opera singer trying to sing a show tune. And this particular woman is not like that. This particular woman can shift. And I'm surprised she hasn't done musical theater on a more regular basis, because she obviously has the voice for it.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about her. It's Dawn Upshaw, by the way.
it's Dawn Upshaw. And, you know, I don't blame her, because, like, she has my dream career, which is making a living doing concerts and singing with symphonies and philharmonics all over the world. I've been saying that for years, that, like, I'm just trying to get something big so that way I can do that. I want a Broadway show. I want something on TV. I want something that will allow me to then use that to be like, hi, I want to sing with these pops and this symphony and that all of, because that really is my dream career. Like, you know, her and Audra McDonald, really, I mean, Audra is, I mean, she does TV, she does Broadway, she does, but we're talking about Dawn. And she was always in San Francisco. Always. I couldn't, in growing up, you know, you get the Sunday Chronicle, and the pink section was entertainment. And I always grabbed that one just to see what was going on. I mean, ever since I was a kid, just who's coming to town, who's coming to town. And Dawn Upshaw was always in town doing something. So I'm very familiar. I've always been very familiar with her. And then, you know, as I got older and YouTube came to be a thing, and I could go on YouTube binges at work, which definitely, if any of my bookkeeping clients, I do that on the side as well. If any of them are listening, I never did YouTube binges while I was working for you guys, ever. But Dawn Upshaw was definitely one of those divas that I would just do like rabbit hole binges. Her voice is stunning. And again, similar to Barbara Cook, just cool and fun, really has fun with material, which I think is what allows her to kind of morph with whatever genre she's singing. And this song is not one that most people know, but it's one of the coolest ones that he wrote. And she is my, I have friends who sing the song and I love it. It's so great. And the way she does it specifically, you would just think that she was, if you heard nothing else but her sing this, like, oh, she's a jazz singer.
Right.
Listen to this jazz singer and really how she just rides this melody and she just kind of bends it a little. And I mean, it's phenomenal. And it's a fun song. And I really can't wait to put my spin on this. But it's Dawn Upshaw singing The Girls of Summer.
Well, we just heard Dawn Upshaw singing The Girls of Summer. And for those of you who are not familiar with Dawn Upshaw, do a search, find her albums. She's actually did a series of albums where she covered Leonard Bernstein and Sondheim and Vernon Duke. And she's just a phenomenal artist. And she's obviously done a lot of classical recordings as well, but just an amazing talent. And next up, we have kind of an interesting little treat because I was not surprised you picked the song. I was surprised you picked this rendition of the song, but it is from A Little Night Music, right?
It is from A Little Night Music with somebody that I guess I knew of her, not personally, not like I was name dropping earlier. Oh my God, I would have put her at the top of the list if I knew this person. But somebody that I didn't really come to realize and respect until it was Game of Thrones. And I just saw this diva there who just was playing this game and was the coolest thing on the show. And every week we're like, what's she going to say? And that's Lady Tyrell, who is the iconic Diana Riggs, mm-hmm. who was in everything from the 60s. She's, mm-hmm. she's literally
on the Avengers. Yes. I grew up with her on the Avengers. Yeah.
I mean, she's had this huge career and she's been all around my entire life. And it wasn't until Game of Thrones. I was like, that lady, that diva with the one-liners and the quips, just phenomenal. And then going back and doing my research that I should have done before, I should have known, find out just her, just how far back her career and how wide and diverse it was. And this is a song that is, I think, gives a little peek into Sonnet. I mean, we all know, you know, he didn't have necessarily the best childhood. Again, I'm not someone to talk on anyone's life. But there's a lot of therapy, I feel like, in the darkness of Sondheim's, just the way he talks about life. Like, yeah, it's not always great. It's not sunshine and roses. He pulled the curtain off all the these fairy tales and into the woods. It was like, this is the dark side of it. This is mm-hmm. what you don't see of real life. And he did that in every show. There's a little hint of that. And in Little Night Music, this one, it's weird that I love listening to this song as much as I do. Because it's not a happy love song, but it is a love song. And as far as for acting purposes go, and really listening to what is being done with this as an actress, I love hearing Diana Riggs sing Every Day a Little Death.
And it's from the motion picture soundtrack.
Yes.
From the film version starring Elizabeth Taylor, which, as we all know, was not a big success. But Diana Rigg certainly came out of it well. And she's actually accompanied by Leslie Ann Down on this track. So we're going to hear it right now. Every Day a Little Death.
Every day a little death. In the parlor, in the bed. In the curtains, in the silver, in the buttons, in the bread. Every day a little sting. In the heart and in the head. Every move and every breath, and you hardly feel a thing, brings a perfect little death. He smiles sweetly, strokes my hair, says he misses me. I would murder him right there, but first I'd die. He talks softly of his wars and his horses and his whores. I think love's a dirty business.
So do I.
I'm before him on my knees and he kisses me. He assumes I'll lose my reason, and I do. Men are stupid, men are vain. Love's disgusting, love's insane. A humiliating business.
Oh, how true.
Ah, well, every day a little death.
Day a little death.
On the lips and in the eyes.
In the parlor, in the bed.
In the murmurs, in the pauses, in the gestures,
in the
sighs.
In the buttons, in the bread.
Every day a little sting.
Every day a little die.
In the heart and in the head.
In the looks and in the lies.
Every move and every breath. And you hardly feel a thing.
brings a perfect little death.
So your next one on your list is one that is a complete shock. A complete surprise. Would never have expected this song. Would never expected this song on your list or this person.
I know, right? Never, ever.
And
I'm being,
if you can't tell, that's major sarcasm. Go ahead.
I mean, this is very similar to how blunt and clear I was and direct with my how I felt about Tyne Daly as Mama Rose. This next diva, both the character and the actress portraying her. This is the one. There have been brilliant actresses and brilliant renditions of this song. Really, really wonderful renditions taken out of this, out of the context of the show. But there's nothing like the real thing. Mm-hmm. This is The Ladies Who Lunch, and it is Elaine Stritch. It is iconic, standing on its own. It's iconic with everything you know about Elaine. It's from hearing her tell the backstory in her Live at Liberty, which I strongly recommend that everyone go watch. And when you get to the part about her thinking a piece of Mahler's was a piece of cake right. from a bakery. Right. And she said that to Stephen Sondheim. That's one of the best. And then go on YouTube and find the recording of this album. It will blow your mind, and you just see everything. You see where she was at back in those days, and it doesn't go well at the beginning, and she walks away and she comes back, and I can't swear she could it's Elaine Stritch, man. She comes and she delivers, and she is the original Joanne, this here's to the Ladies Who Lunch.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch. On their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming their fat, and looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat? I'll drink to that. Here's to the girls who stay smart. Aren't they a gas? Rushing to their classes in optical art, wishing it would pass. Another long, exhausting day. Another $1,000. A matinee, a pinter play. Perhaps a piece of Mahler's. I'll drink to that. And one for Mahler. Here's to the girls who play wife. Aren't they too much? Keeping house but clutching a copy of Life just to keep in touch. The ones who follow the rules and meet themselves at the schools, too busy to know that they're fools. Aren't they a gem? I'll drink to them. Let's all drink to them.
girls who just watch, aren't they the best? When they get depressed, it's a bottle of scotch plus a little jest. Another chance to disapprove another brilliant singer, another reason not to move, another vodka stinger. I'll drink to that. So here's to the girls on the go, everybody tries. Look into their eyes and you'll see what they know. Everybody dies. A toast to that invincible bunch, the dinosaurs surviving the crunch. Let's hear it for the ladies who lunch. Everybody rise.
We just heard Elaine Stritch doing The Ladies Who Lunch from Company. And next up on your list, we're going to go back to Into the Woods. And we're going to go to a woman who is very, very the opposite of Elaine Stritch. This is someone
night
who...
Night and day.
This is someone who is probably got one of the most beautiful voices in theater. Still has one of the most gorgeous voices, even though she hasn't been doing theater. She's been mostly focusing on concerts the last many years, and recordings. And she's also one of the sweetest, nicest people in the business as well.
Yeah.
And that is Liz Callaway.
Yeah. Who she's a Disney princess, which is like, she's just the sweetest. She's the voice of Anastasia. She's the voice of like so much of people my age's childhood. And she has this beautiful way that she sings songs where almost everything she sings sounds like a lullaby. Mm-hmm. And it was through listening to her sing some of Sondheim's songs, which she does have. She actually just released a tribute to Steve with Love. And I realized that a lot, again, kind of thinking of the idea of when you know about him and you know about his childhood and you know about his relationship with his mother, and then you look at what he writes and how he writes it about this, like this beautiful healing of life's not great, but there's a way through it, and there's a way to forgive, there's a way to move on, there's a way to embrace the bad. A lot of his songs really lend well to being a lullaby. You could take a lot of his songs, a lot of these divas, solos, and you can almost sing them as a lullaby. And nobody more, and it's in part this song and this singer that really is this like this beautiful mother's hug in music. Again, I'm not here to talk about his life, but it's interesting to really feel that this musical embrace and this love of a mother in music. And the song which always gets me is "Children Will Listen," and this is Liz Callaway singing that song.
How do you say to your child in the night, nothing's all black, but then nothing's all white? How do you say it will all be all right when you know that it mightn't be true? What do you do? Careful the things you say, children will listen. Careful the things you do, children will see and learn. Children may not children will look to you for which way to turn, to learn what to be. Careful before you say, listen to me. Children will listen. Careful the wish you make. Wishes are children. Careful the path they take. Wishes come true. Not free. Careful the spell you cast. Not just on children. Sometimes the spell may last past what you can see and turn against you. Careful the tale you tell, that is the spell. Children will listen. How can you say to a child who's in flight, don't slip away? I won't hold so tight. What can you say that no matter how slight won't be misunderstood? What do you leave to your child when you're dead? Only whatever you put in its head. Things that your father and mother had said, which were left to them too. Careful what you say. To be free. Careful before you say, listen to me. Children will listen. Children will listen. Children.
Well, we are now up to your 12th and final show tune. And so let's talk about it. It's a very interesting choice. It's one of my favorite songs. It's especially from the show it's from.
This one is Now You Know. Mm-hmm. From Merrily We Roll Along. And again, kind of piggybacking on the Life's Not Great. They talk about it in the song, but you got to keep going, and knowledge is power, and you just go, you just keep moving. And part of where I got the inspiration for the original Diva show I did back in the middle of the pandemic was everything, like the heart and soul of that show was what divas mean to gay men, to queer youth, the role models they are for us. They represent everything that society makes us suppress, that we're not allowed to live. And they are almost like these fairy godmothers that guide us. And specifically with this playlist of Sondheim's music and listening to these divas, they guide us. Oh God, I'm about to quote Children Will Listen.
that's okay.
They guide us along our way. Mm-hmm. And part of that is also just being like, okay, kid, now you know, and now you move forward. So these wonderful fairy godmothers that we have just listened to, and their wisdom and their truths about life that they share with us, and who they are for us to look up to aspire to be, both in their beautiful feminine energy and their power, really that diva power. It's absolutely wonderful. And now, you know, so I shared with you this information. Go live your life. Be your own diva. Mm-hmm. Be your own diva. And what better way to end this playlist? It's very hard to choose specific renditions. But, you know, being a peacemaker, I thought, what better way than with the Sondheim on Sondheim cast singing right. this, which is, you know.
Four very talented ladies. We have Leslie Kritzer, Erin Mackey, Vanessa Williams, and Barbara Cook, who we heard a little earlier. But the four of them are all doing Now You Know, which is from Merrily We Roll Along and Sondheim on Sondheim.
All right, now you know, life is crummy. Well, now you know. I mean, big surprise, people love you and tell you lies. Bricks can tumble from clear blue skies. Put your dimple down, now you know. So life lays you low, learn to live with it, now you know. It's called flowers wilt, it's called apples rot, it's called thieves get rich and saints get shot, it's called God don't answer prayers a lot. Okay, now you know. Okay, now you know. Now forget it, don't fall apart at the seams. It's called letting go your illusions, and don't confuse them with dreams if the going's slow. Don't regret it, and don't let's go to extremes. It's called what's your choice, it's called count to ten, it's called burn your bridges, start again. You should burn them every now and then, or you'll never grow. Because now you grow, that's the killer, is now you grow. You're right, nothing's fair, and it's all a plot, and tomorrow doesn't look too hot. Well, you better look at what you've got and enjoy the show. Okay, now you know.
Right, wrong.
Just go with the flow, then forget it, don't fall apart at the seams. It's called letting go your illusions, and don't confuse them with dreams if the going's slow. Don't regret it, and don't let's go to extremes. I mean, socks have holes, I mean, roads have bumps, they make meatheads champs, nice guys chumps. I mean, even cream of wheat has lumps, gotta let it go. Because now you grow, that's the killer, is now you grow.
Now you grow.
You're right, nothing's fair, and it's all a plot, and tomorrow doesn't look too hot. Right, you better look at what you've got. Over here, hello.
Over here, hello.
All right, now you know.
Well, there you have it. Sean Patrick Murtaugh has just done his 12 favorite show tunes as of this moment. He'll be back next week for his 12 favorite show tunes for next week. Just kidding. I'm not going to put you through that torture again. So I hope you offer all the best on your shows coming up. Like I said, as we said, he's going to be at the Provincetown Cabaret Fest on June 9th, doing this Sean Sondheim show. And then he will be doing a farewell concert at the Laurie Beachman Theater on June 23rd. And then he will be... When exactly are you moving? Are you moving like right after the 23rd? I mean, doing the show right in the midst of moving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the show, I mean, the farewell concert will be the Sondheim tribute. So it's like, okay. I've already done it. So that'll be wonderful. But yeah, the 23rd and then, the 28th, everything is going to be put on a truck.
Oh. And then you will be out here in the LA area where I am, which will be fun.
I can't wait to be your neighbor.
Yes, we will definitely have to get together when you, are finally settled in. So all the best, and hopefully we will talk to you soon. And people can find you online. I'll make sure to put a link on the website so people can find your website and they can see everything you're doing. And they can also purchase the Mario 101, which is available in an actual physical CD, beautifully packaged, by the way. All put together by one of our favorite people, obviously. The design is amazing. It looks like a vintage record album, and it's just gorgeous.
Yes, and Robbie Roselle mm-hmm. is actually going to be, or is, has designed the art for this concert. So I can't wait for all wonderful. The listeners to see it.
Yes, you'll have to send it to me so I can use it for part of the posting. So all the best, and hopefully we will, and I'll definitely be seeing you soon in person.
Yes, you will. Thank you so much.